ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهدي الله هو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وقائدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin by testifying that none is worthy of worship besides Allah. And I continue my testimony by declaring and proclaiming that the beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger and a servant and a slave of Allah. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is allowed to go astray due to their own wrongful actions and sinful desires and inclinations, none can guide back except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, if you look around you in the Jumu'ah today, there are many reasons to be grateful. We are here together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, and that's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift. But also, if you look around you, there's a reason to be a little bit sorrow in heart, to have sorrowness in the heart, to have sorrow in the heart, and to be saddened a little bit. And the reason for that is because we have so many young people among us, so many young people who are here today, alhamdulillah, but unfortunately, we have not created the best of structures and the best of environments in the masjid to make sure that they come consistently and regularly. And this khutbah here today, inshallah, is dedicated to our young sisters, our young brothers, our young women, and our young men, brothers and sisters in Islam. My brothers and my sisters, the youngsters, and also who are listening from the seniors, the respected elders, may Allah bless you. The Prophet Muhammad sallam, in the hadith, he mentions, what does he mention? He says, أُوصِيكُم بِالشَّبَابِ خَيْرًا. I am advising you to take good care of your youth, to be sensitive when it comes to the affairs of the youth. Because there is softness in their hearts. Because there's softness in their hearts. And because they are ready to embrace Islam fully. Embrace Islam fully. And he mentions that when I came, Prophet Muhammad mentions, when I came to bring the good news of Islam, I was opposed by the elders and I was supported by the youngsters. I was opposed by the elders and I was supported by the youngsters. And if you look at some of the greatest contributions to Islam, whether it is subhanAllah the hadith collection, whether it is the Quran preservation, whether it is the expansion of the Muslim world into newer territory, at the head of all of those efforts, among the top five contributors, you will see the names of youth. If you look at the Quran preservation, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? If you look at Zayd ibn Thabit, if you look at even the Quran transcription and writing, all these efforts, you have the names of young men and women. If you look at subhanAllah, the social services within Islam, early social service, Zainab bint Ali ibn Abi Talib, she was among the first, a woman, a young girl, under the age of 12, when she started her efforts to plan out a senior's home and a food place, like a food bank for the Muslim community in Medina. If you look at subhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and his contributions to Islam, and Amr ibn al-As who took Islam to Egypt, and others who participated in those battles, and at the head of all of that, subhanAllah, of course it is worthy to mention that among the leaders in the battlefield was a 16-year-old general, Usama ibn Zayd, who led the likes of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman behind him in the battle. A 16-year-old leading in the presence of the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar. Our youth have an important place to play in Islamic history. And it is our duty as Muslims to revive that sense of commitment to the youth and sense of belonging in the masjid that the youth should have. Each and every one of us, as a young person, subhanAllah, has so much energy, so much energy. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says this in many hadith directly and indirectly. SubhanAllah, a young man, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, comes to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you know, tells him, how are you doing? He said, yesterday I recited the whole Qur'an, or what was revealed from the Qur'an thus far, in one night, from beginning to end. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, take it easy on yourself. I don't want you to get too bored. You know, you're excited now, but I want you to do something that's a little bit consistent. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, let me take advantage of my youth. I have this energy, it's not going to be here forever. Look at that brilliance, yeah? I have this energy, it's not going to be here forever. Let me take full advantage of it. So he tells him, you know what? Then take it a little bit easier. Do it. Try to do it in a month. Recite the whole Quran in a month. He says, Ya Rasulullah, let me take my full advantage of my energy. Okay, fine. Try to recite it within a week. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I won't take my full energy and full advantage of my energy. He said, try not to recite it in less than 3 days. Imagine, you got to do it. Try to do it less. Yeah? And don't try to do it in one night. Try to keep it in 7 days. But if you're going to go all out, do it in 3 days max. Don't do it in less than that. And this was the advice of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But imagine, he had the energy around the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He had the energy and he wanted to go fully out. And there are many examples of this, where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he advises the youngsters around him to have that balance between being fully committed and at the same time not being overzealous and overcommitted to the point where it's not sustainable and it's not consistent. But he was always there to urge and to encourage that their energy is directed in the best ways possible. My brothers and my sisters, just a few, subhanAllah, examples from the Prophet Muhammad's life and in the way that he led the youth, in the way that he led young people. When I say young people, I'm referring to people as young as 3 years old and as old as, you know, 40 years of age. Anywhere in between that, technically, you're considered youth. You're considered youth. The Prophet Muhammad, my brothers and my sisters, in a beautiful encounter with a young man. And this young man, Al-Bukhari, actually opens and dedicates a whole chapter to his, or a whole section to his narration. Imam al-Bukhari dedicates a small section to his narration. He says, I was in the market, the full story, he's in the market, running around and he's playing with the rest of the kids. He's playing with the rest of the kids, taking water and sprinkling it. They're having a water fight. And of course in Medina, water was not abundant, so they're not wasting water, it's just some little water. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallam walks out, and as soon as they see him, they stop. They stop. They're scared. What is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ going to do? Is he going to stop them from playing with the water? Is he going to yell at them? Is he going to scream at them? Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he comes out, they stop. They look at him. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ comes and takes a little bit of water and he sprinkles it on their faces. And that young boy says, I remember the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ sprinkling the water on my face. And he narrates this. And when this narration reaches Imam al-Bukhari, he's now sitting down and he's having a question. Should we trust the narration of someone who said this happened to him when he was 4 years old? Do you have enough of a memory, reliance? Can you rely on a memory of a four-year-old at that time? And of course he chose that yes, it is a reliable narration, because there are others around who also said that we've witnessed, subhanAllah, the same thing. So imagine, as young as 4 years, the Prophet Muhammad comes and lets them have that fun. As long as there's no, of course, overdoing it and wasting the water, which is a huge part of our deen. But the fact that the Prophet Muhammad does not interrupt them, and he tells them, you know, continue, and he actually engages in the act with them, shows you that the Prophet Muhammad was constructive, not destructive. He let the kids have that fun. He let the kids enjoy that time. And of course, we know that the masajid of the Prophet Muhammad were full of youth, full of kids. Full of youth and full of kids. As a matter of fact, there were youth and kids crying at the back of the masjid. An infant was crying at the back of the masjid when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the salah. And instead of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam making an announcement, don't bring your kids to the masjid, none of that. His comment was, he made the salah faster than usual. And when they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you make the salah faster than usual? He said, I heard the cry of an infant behind me, and I didn't want his mother, I don't want her heart to be distracted between her kid and the salah. So I made it as fast as possible so she knows, you know what, she'll be able to get back to the salah. I want you to imagine, he took into consideration the feelings of one mother behind him in the salah. And that is why, subhanAllah, in fiqh we have a rule, which is the salah, when you're leading in jama'ah, you take into consideration the weakest of everyone that is involved. Yeah, you have many young people can pray for a long time, but take into consideration the weakest of the people and the people who have the highest need. A mother who is worried about her daughter, a youth who has something to do, a busy day or a schedule or work, any of that you take into account and take into consideration. And my brothers and my sisters, you can take all that back and learn something very important from that, the totality of the Quran, the Sunnah, when it's talking about the youth, and that is, be considerate when it comes to the youth. Create the positive space. Allow them to feel comfortable in the masjid and create programming, inshallah, from a modern perspective. Create programming that would allow them to feel productive and allow them to contribute, inshallah. And my brothers and my sisters, if you look at, subhanAllah, some of those great personalities from among the youth, let's just highlight a few to see, subhanAllah, some of their great lessons and some of the things that they've taught us. And some of the things that they preserved from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, he was a young man when he came to Islam. 8, 9, 10 years of age. Some people say he was around 12, 14 years of age when he became a Muslim. But regardless of the exact age, he was a young person, a young man when he came to Islam. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he heard the ayah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He heard the ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain Jannah, you will not attain Jannah until you spend out of what you love. So subhanAllah, look at him. He heard the ayah and he wanted to implement it. So he took candy, sugar, and he put it in his pockets everywhere. And he would go to the streets, Medina, the markets of Medina. And everyone that he came across, he would give them that candy or that sugar. So they asked him, why are you giving everyone sugar? Why are you giving everyone candy? And he said, I heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain Jannah until you spend out of what you love. And I want to spend from what Allah has given me, and I want to spend from what I love. He didn't say, I'm young, I'm too young, I can't give. He gave from what was loyal, what was beloved to him at that time, which was, subhanAllah, sugar and candy. Fast forward many years, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab becomes one of the richest of the companions. One of the richest of the companions. And he has a beautiful legacy of giving, and giving from what he loved. He's responsible for emancipating, setting free 1,000 slaves, at least. One narration tells us that he went to the market and he bought a slave for 40,000 dinars. And back then, slaves were, you know, Islam came to slowly abolish slavery. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he was among those who used to buy slaves, hire them for a specific period of time, and then set them free. And sometimes he would actually help them. So the Prophet Abdullah ibn Umar here, what he does is he hires a slave for 40,000 golden dinars. 40,000 dinars. And he tells him, you have to do this specific work. And then I'm going to, inshallah, set you free. The slave comes to me and says, O companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallam and the son of Umar ibn Khattab, master, the son of a master, I hear that you're a great person and I hear that you love to give. Can you help me out? Do something for me. Help me in any way that you can. So Abdullah ibn Umar tells him, I'll make you a deal. Back then the slaves would not keep their money. They would work and the money would go to the master. So he says, you will work and you will keep the money for yourself. You don't have to give me any money. You'll work and you keep the money for yourself. And slowly pay me back the amount that I paid for you. The 40,000, pay it back to me and then I'll set you free. So he worked, the slave worked and paid him back 5,000. 5,000 golden coins. And they came back to Abdullah ibn Umar and says, I have tried my best, but I can't pay you more than this. I'm really, really stuck. Can you help me out? He said, what would you like? He said, can you set me free? Abdullah says, you know what? You're free. Go, you're free for the sake of Allah. Then he looks at him and says, can you set my father free? Your father is set free as well. Can you set my mother free? Your mother is free as well. Can you set my brother and my sister? They're all free. Can you set my children free? They're all free. So he freed his whole family. I want you to imagine, that's a lot of money to be given, yeah? Just to put it into perspective, a golden dinar is 4.25 grams of gold. Every gram of gold nowadays, as of yesterday, I think it was $63, $64. So I can imagine, 40,000 times 2.5 times right? 63 or 64, depending on what it is today, that's a lot of money. Do the math. But he was giving hundreds of thousands of dollars, if you take into account today's standards, he was giving that, subhanAllah, for the sake of Allah. Now this family looks at Abdullah ibn Umar, the man, the slave that was just free, looks at Abdullah ibn Umar and says, listen, I really appreciate, thank you for setting us free. Thank you for doing that. But now that we're free, we have no place to go. We have no home. We have no money. Can you help us out? He says, how much do you want? He says, can you give me 5,000 golden dinars? He says, you know what? Take 40,000. And he gave him 40,000. So not only did he set him free, he gave him, subhanAllah, money to take care of his own family. And Abdullah ibn Umar was known for that generosity. Imagine he started his journey with the Prophet Muhammad at the age of, let's say, 12, 13, 14. And how old do you think he is now when he's doing this, when he's giving from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him? At this age, he's only 30 years old. He's only 30 years old. Imagine learning the giving from the Prophet Muhammad sallam, and then he takes that and translates it into giving as a young man. And of course that applies to our young sisters as well. These are many, many examples, my brothers and my sisters, from the great contributions and the great personalities of these individuals that were around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Jabir ibn Abdullah. Jabir ibn Abdullah. He becomes a Muslim at the age of 13. At the age of 13. Some say at the age of 10. And he's one of the earliest people from Medina to become a Muslim. He says, he narrates his story. He says, I was among the few people who left Medina and went to Mecca to give the oath of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad and tell him, come to Medina, we will be there, we will support you, and we will be there by your side. So he was among the few who gave allegiance directly from Medina to the Prophet Muhammad in Mecca. Jabir ibn Abdullah's life is full of amazing, amazing, amazing lessons and interactions with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them, Jabir ibn Abdullah, his father dies in one of the battles. His father is martyred. And before his father is martyred, long story short, he tells him, I'm leaving your sisters with you. We had nine sisters. Jabir had nine sisters. I'm leaving nine sisters with you. And if anything happens to me on this battle, I want you to do two things for me. Number one, I want you to take care of all my debt. And number two, I would like for you to take care of your own sisters. Jabir's father, Abdullah ibn Haram, he's martyred in that battle. He's martyred in that battle. And Jabir goes on to get married. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ meets him on the way back from another battle. And he tells him, Jabir, I heard that you've been married. Who did you marry? Did you marry someone young? Did you marry someone old? He says, I married someone a little bit older, Ya Rasulullah. Why did you marry someone a little bit older? He says, I married someone a little bit older because my father, when he passed away, he told me to take care of my nine sisters, and I married someone that has a little bit more experience with life and with people in general, so that she could help me and could also help me take care of my sisters. Look at that selflessness that he learned from the Prophet Muhammad at a very young age. When I'm getting married, I'm not just getting married for me, I'm getting married for my family, I'm getting married for what works best for everyone that is involved. That community, that family, subhanAllah, based decision making, which was really, really important to the Prophet Muhammad sallam and to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are just some examples from the many, many examples. And of course, if you look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallam, it is full of great interactions with young people. The Prophet Muhammad sallam, in a narration, he goes and he's invited to some food. So he takes with him one young boy and two wise men like Abu Bakr and Umar. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallam is sitting down, he's given food to drink and he's also given water. So he takes the jug of water and he's drinking. He's about to drink. And when he finishes drinking, now he has to make a decision. Should he pass the jug of water from the right to the left, which is the sunnah, or should he pass it to the two wise men on his left who are older and more senior? So should he give it to the young boy, which is sitting on his right, and that will be going from right to left, which is the sunnah, or should he pass it to the two wise men, like Abu Bakr and Umar, on his left? It's a little bit of a dilemma. Should he pay respect to the wise, older men, or should he give respect to the young boy? So what does he do? Look at the decision making of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He turns to the young boy and he says, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أَسْقِيَ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. Do you give me permission to allow the two wise men to drink first? Imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallam is asking permission from a young boy. Do you give me permission to allow the two wise men to drink first? And the boy says, no. I don't give you permission. Imagine if this happened nowadays. Imagine if you, in front of guests that are there to visit you, you tell your kid, or you tell a young kid, do you give me permission to allow the guest to drink first? And the boy says, no! This would be the beginning of a nice session. Let's call it that. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah in that case, he turns to the young boy and he says, لَكَ هَذَا, it is your right. It is your right. It is your right. And the boy drinks, and after he drinks, the water or the jug is given to the two wise men to drink from. And of course, some of the commentators mention that perhaps the reason why the Prophet Muhammad's companion, the young boy, wanted to drink first is because he wanted to consolidate on the blessing of drinking from the same place where the Prophet Muhammad's lips touched, which wasn't unusual. Many people love to be that close to the Prophet Muhammad. Sufficient as an example, if you want to see how much the kids around the Prophet Muhammad and the young men and women around the Prophet Muhammad, if you want to see and if you want to know how much they loved him, I want you to imagine this. When the Prophet Muhammad is coming back from a long battle, he's wounded, he's tired, he's exhausted. You can imagine he's bloody in certain areas. He comes back, and before he enters the gates of Medina, he's greeted by all of the children, young men and women. Children, and they jump around him and they say, Ya Rasulullah, can we play? Can we play? Can we play? Imagine, he's tired, he's exhausted, he wants to go back and rest, but the children are jumping around him saying, can we play? And the Prophet Muhammad would not go back to Medina until all of the children have played with him. So he would give his camel or his horse, and he would place one of the children in front of him, one of the children behind him, or sometimes a bunch of them on top of the camel or on top of the horse. To the point where after the Prophet Muhammad passed away, after he departed from this world, and after these young men and women became older, they used to tease each other. And used to say, the Prophet, he loved me more than he loved you. Why did he love you more than he loved me? Because he put me front of him on the camel, and he put you behind. And then the response would be, yeah, he put you in the front, but he put me twice on the camel, he only got once. And they would tease each other. And he would say, the Prophet ﷺ loved me more than he loved you. And of course it was playful, but I want you to imagine, that is the level of connection that these young women and young men had with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It came to a point where, remember when Ali was told by the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, sleep in my bed, because I have to go to Medina, and I want you to return all the trust back to the people. Ali didn't ask any questions. Yeah, he slept in the bed. Later on, when they asked him, people later on, the companions asked him, how did you sleep in the bed of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that day? How could you? Knowing there are people waiting to kill whoever's in that bed. His response was, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told me, sleep well, Ali, and be comfortable. By Allah, nothing bad will happen to you. And he said, the Prophet's word and promise to me was more important than anything else. He says, any other night that I go to sleep, does anyone promise me that I'll wake up? No one promises me. But that night the Prophet Muhammad promised me, wait, sleep well, be comfortable, nothing bad will happen to you. And that's what a word of the Prophet Muhammad meant to these young people. That's what a word meant. If he said it, done. No questions asked. No need for discussion. It is truth. And that took a long time to build. That trust took a long time to build. In the last few minutes that I have with you, I would like to share the following. Alhamdulillah, every institution in this part of the world, Islamic institution, has had its ups and downs, has had its attempts, has had different turnovers and different boards and different people come in and different people go out. And we too, we will be here for just a few days, and inshallah life will happen and will continue. But what we would like to do in this specific phase, and may Allah aid us in doing so, for this specific phase of Isna's chapter, we would like to make it clear that we're committed to making this masjid and to making this space a home and a place of comfort and tranquility and knowledge and development and growth for young men and women. This is your home. As Sheikh Ala says it clearly, and he said this to me many, many times, and I would like to say the same thing. Imagine this place as young men and women. Imagine this place as like an Apple store, or as an app store, yeah? This is your app store, or this is your Google Play store, yeah? You can build your own app, as long as halal, and bring it here and run it. This is your home. Let us know what we can do. to the best of our abilities. There'll be much programming that is to come. There's a lot of planning going into this, a lot of youth development, from curriculum development to sports tournaments to peer-to-peer interactions, mentorship programs. All of these ideas are being discussed. If you would like to be part of that conversation, inshallah, we're creating a small group of young women and men who will help us be, inshallah, focused on delivering those promises to the youth. So that will be, inshallah, a steering committee of youth, young men and women. If you're happy and you have the time and you would like to give us your advice and give us your input, please see me. Inshallah, we would love to have you as part of our youth steering committee, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to make this place a place of comfort and tranquility for our young men and women. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be bold and disciplined, but also compassionate and merciful. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to never compromise the truth, but at the same time to be gentle in sharing that truth with others, and to be cognizant and aware of people's struggles and where they come from, so that we allow this to be a place of healing, not a place of sickness. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت. اللهم اهدنا وهدنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم قبلنا وتقبل منا واجعلنا مقبولين. اللهم اهد شبابنا ونساءنا ورجالنا واغفر لوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا يا رب. آمين آمين. My brothers and my sisters, a few brothers and sisters requested dua. There are so many that we cannot mention by name, but one specific brother requested here, Allah knows, Brother Faisal, I believe, he's very, very sick. And many others, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them all healing, leaving no ailment behind, ya Rabbi Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant mercy to all of those who passed on. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us steadfastness and strength to hold on. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa akhir as-salat. Wa as-salat again.